Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pensacola and surrounding areas. This is episode 6 of Women in Leadership. My name is Colleen Edwards-Chesley, and I will be your host from here on out for these shows. These shows are now sponsored by Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast, which is an organic organization born right here in Pensacola and focuses on networking, professional development, mentoring, providing an annual conference, and a print magazine for women. And I could not be more excited to be in the studio today with three fantastic ladies that we have interviewed in our print magazine. You can read their stories on our website, powerfulwomengulfcoast.com. And today we're going to delve in a little bit deeper and hear more about their thoughts on women in leadership. We've got a lot of information to go through, so I'm excited to get started. And first, I'd like to introduce Amy Miller. She is the port director for the city of Pensacola. Amy, tell us a little bit about how you became a port director. Maybe throw in the story about your grandmother and the tie-in there to leadership, and let's get us started.
Sure. Good morning, Colleen. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I got into the port business completely by accident. It was not a plan. I don't, in fact, know anyone in the port business that got into the port business deliberately. My background's in journalism. I have a degree in journalism from Ohio University. I started out as a newspaper reporter in Ohio, California, and finally in Louisiana. And it was in Louisiana that I began covering a port authority as part of my assignment for the newspaper. And one day, their port director that I had been covering for several years called and said that his public relations person had given her 2 weeks' notice. In his terms, his PR gal had given her 2 weeks' notice, and he wanted to know if I was interested in the job. And that was about the time that I was old enough to understand that I didn't want to continue to work 18-hour days for no money for much longer. So I left journalism and went into the port industry and basically started at the bottom, started writing press releases, speeches for the port director, ad copy, those kinds of things, and worked my way up over a 25-year career to where I am now as port director.
Awesome. And I really loved when we sat down in the interview, I remember you talking about information for college students and how they should really take communication classes.
Absolutely. That's every college student or soon to be high school graduate that I talk to that maybe isn't exactly sure what they want to do, not exactly sure what they want their career to be. I advise to take as many communications classes as they can, both written and oral, speech classes, writing classes, creative writing classes. Those are skills that you can use in any career, and they will serve you very, very well. The ability to speak well, the ability to convey your message and convey it confidently, whether in speech or in writing, will serve you well in any career field.
Absolutely. I thought that was fantastic advice. And then tell us about Grandmother and her influence on your leadership path.
My Grandma Carol is my hero. She is 95 years old and sharp as a tack. Absolutely a terrific, terrific lady. But she learned to weld toward the end of World War II. And so she's a real life Rosie the Riveter, and had a career as a welder, and managed to raise two healthy, wonderful. Ooh, that must be the storm. Managed to raise two healthy, wonderful kids, my mom and my uncle, and have a career at the same time. And become an officer in her labor union in the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s. And that's a time when, you know, women weren't officers of anything but garden clubs and Girl Scout troops.
Absolutely.
So she's always been my hero, and she's always been my example of what powerful women can be.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. What a tough, strong, confident woman that your genes come from.
Yep, she's awesome.
Amazing.
She's
amazing.
Terrific.
Wonderful. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right. And next up, we have Stacy Costavecchi. She is the executive director of Gulf Coast Kids House. And I think you have a similar story where you did not go into wanting to become the director of a child advocacy organization. So tell us how that path changed in your youth. I was laughing as Amy was talking because I was actually a creative writing major in college, and I was on a career path to become an editor. I pictured, you know, sitting on an island, reading books and editing. And then I took a death and dying class. It was actually a nursing class that I just heard was really good. And through that, we really did evaluate life and what you want to be remembered for. We had to write our own obituaries, plan our funeral, all those things. And also had to volunteer with a local organization. And I chose a grief and loss counseling center. And from there, I just kind of knew that I had to be in a mission-driven career field. So came back to Pensacola and worked with Children's Services Center and volunteered at Gulf Coast Kids House. And then 6 years later, when the director was retiring, I interviewed for the job. And I don't regret it a day, but I will say what brought me to the kids' house was not the mission of the children so much as effective collaboration and teamwork and what that can do in the child abuse arena. And just knowing that we needed to improve that is what's kept me there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a wonderful story. And I know they are eternally grateful for your work there and the amazing difference that you've made since you've been in charge of that center.
It's a great group of people. It's
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. All right. And Dr. LaSharon Wiley, one of my favorite women that is just a wealth of wisdom and great information. Tell us about your path and your role now as the Senior Associate Dean of Students for the University of West Florida.
Well, like the two ladies before me, it wasn't a planned path for me either. However, I hail from South Georgia, from a large family, and though we were not farmers, I worked on farms during the summer. And part of my history is having picked cotton and also having worked in tobacco. So at a very early age, I knew what I did not want to do. So when I moved here to Pensacola as a result of the U.S. Navy, my husband was a Navy officer. By happenstance, my daughter was a student at the University of West Florida, heard about this program because I had worked previously in many states in social services. And there was a new program beginning at the university. And she said, "Mom, she needs help," meaning the director of the program. I inquired about it, and from there, I got hired, and now, 23 years later, here I am. It is amazing that the path, though it has been a circuitous one, has continued to be in the arena of helping others and modeling the way.
Wonderful. Well, and the exact same thing. I know you've done a number of different roles within University of West Florida, and you have quite a following out there.
Thank you.
Of students, teachers, mentors, a lot of people that have learned from you over the years.
Thank you.
So thank you, everyone, for being here. All right, now we're going to dive into some good, juicy leadership information. And I want to start out, the question that really piques my interest is the question about personal daily habits of success. What do you do on a daily basis that helps keep you focused on success? And LaSharon, you were probably the most unique answer when I've asked interviewees that question. Yours amazed me, and I tried to do it a couple times, but I have not perfected it. So tell us what you do at the very beginning of your day.
At the beginning of the day, I jump out of bed. I don't roll out of bed. I don't linger on the side of my bed. I jump out of bed. And when I do that, I'm ready for my day. And one of the things I was thinking about as you were asking that question is, what do I do as I get started? In addition to getting up with enthusiasm, I also get up when I wake up. I find that we lose a lot of time. If I wake up at 5, why would I lay in bed to 6:30? I'm awake. Get up and start your day.
Absolutely. So you don't let time derive when you start becoming functional and productive.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I said I tried it a couple times. We have a raised bed. So the first time, literally, and I was so excited. I was like, I am going to try this. This is awesome. And I jumped, and then I fell right into the closet.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. It was not pretty. I've tried it a little more gracefully. I still have not mastered it. So,
well, my bed, it's not high.
Yes.
And I guess it doesn't have to be literal. I guess really what I'm saying is don't be a slug about. Just get up and start your day. And it's interesting where tidbits of good things can come from. There's a book by Patti LaBelle, and it's called Pearls of Wisdom. It's one of my favorite books, and her pearls are learnings that she got from her grandmother. And one of the things that she says is this: accept everything that you are and nothing that you are not. And for me, that's such a good pearl of wisdom, because I think a lot of times the things that we do and or fail to do is because of what other people put into our souls. And so she's saying, examine that and then make your own choices. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good wisdom.
Absolutely. And that's one that I have internalized from our mm-hmm. interview. Mm-hmm. When you first said that, of course, I knew what she had said, but I hadn't really understood the full meaning of it. Mm-hmm. And the more that I reflect on that, it's made a big difference in my life. That there are people, I think for me, the hardest thing is there are people that I respect. And when they give me feedback, mm-hmm. sometimes unconditionally, I think every piece of their feedback is absolutely accurate. And until you really mm-hmm. brought that up, it's changed my mentality a little bit to say, wait a minute, I can still respect that person, but their advice mm-hmm. may not be exactly on par.
Exactly.
You know, they don't know me like I know me. And so that's really helped me. I thought that was amazing, that quote. And I appreciate that you brought that up. That's a wonderful one.
Thank you.
All right. So, Stacy, you've got another one for what you do on personal success for daily to make sure that you are aligning yourself with success. Share with us what I know during the interview, you talked quite a bit about the hard work that you put in to get into the Gulf Coast Kids House.
Yeah, I'm a big preparer. But on a daily basis, I think the one thing that keeps me grounded and gives me an opportunity to think about work without having work thinking about me, you know, mm-hmm. not being forced into it right away, is exercise. It's been so important to be able to go to boot camp or to go on a run. And I feel like some of the best ideas that I've had have come from just that quiet time that you get with yourself without all the electronic interference. I always say that I need a whiteboard in my shower, because once you get back, you've got all these great ideas and you want to write it down and you don't want to forget it. So I'm going to patent that and
Absolutely.
Retire off of my whiteboard in the shower idea.
We can bring back grown-ups with crayons in the shower.
I love it.
Yes, that would work. And even your husband, he's one that if you come home from work and he can already tell you're stressed.
Oh, yeah. He's got my bag packed. He's like, mm-hmm. honey, go for a walk. I'll see you when you're mm-hmm. not as grumpy. Mm-hmm. So that's super important. And I'm an early riser as well. I think the people that I respect and admire the most are up by 5 and have already had a meeting by 7. And I feel like if you want to get something done, you get to the people that get up early. I was just with a group of Rotarians this morning. We meet at 7 a.m. on Thursday, and they are Cordova Rotary meets at the kids' house. And I just feel so strongly that early groups get it done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to develop that habit? Have you always been an early riser?
I've always been an early riser. But more recently with the kids' house, actually it was graduate school. That's what it was. Because when I was working over at student group, we were doing grad school at night, and you were too tired to study. So I'd get up at 4 and do homework and then go to work.
Wow.
So it really started then.
That's amazing. And anybody out there that isn't, I know Amy.
It's a shame the listeners can't see the look on my face.
Amy is
it's a look of horror.
Cringing Cringing. But I think that is a habit that can be learned. I am not an early riser. My husband has started us walking in the mornings. And I have to, in order to stay on schedule and to be at work at a normal time, we're walking it from 5 to 5:30. Mm-hmm. I would never have expected myself to get up and walk at 5 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes it's sleepwalking, honestly. It's I will sleep in the clothes that I'm going to wear to walk in the morning and just roll. I'm not jumping out of bed. I'm rolling out of bed, putting on my tennis shoes and out the door. And about halfway through the walk, I'm actually waking up and realizing I'm outside. So, but it's a habit that I think you have to work towards. But I think you're absolutely right. There's been a few times where I've gotten up, just like you mentioned, LaSharon, woken up in the morning and figured I could sleep for a little while or I could get up and get these things off my head that are already cycling around. And I've sent emails at 4 a.m. and then I've had people text me and say, are you okay? I've never gotten an email from you at 4 a.m. So, yeah.
You know, I'm not an early riser like these ladies, but one of the things that I've started doing, a couple of things I've started doing very recently is number one, eating breakfast every day. Mm-hmm. I got out of that habit somewhere in my adult life. And I've gotten into the habit of actually eating breakfast every day in the office. And I block out my first 30 minutes of the day. And everybody in my office knows I'm not taking phone calls. I'm not taking meetings. I'm spending that 30 minutes kind of centering myself, looking at my calendar, catching up on whatever happened in the news the night before, making sure, you know, there's nothing I need to be aware of that's floating around out in the blogosphere, and kind of centering myself on the day. And I think the habit of eating my breakfast at the office has forced me to do that. And I think it's been a good habit for me to get into, because I feel centered and organized after that 30 minutes. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get started. And I know kind of my plan for my day and how my day is going to fall out in front of me. And so I feel less harried about through the rest of the day.
Absolutely. I can imagine that it helps you be less reactive too. The second you walk in, you are being more proactive about your day instead of walking into 100 emails that have to be answered. And
somebody grabbing me right through the door. Hey, exactly. Real quick, let me know. Give me 30 minutes to just get organized and then we'll get up and running.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about personal mantras. I know, LaSharon, you already shared your love for Patti LaBelle. And I love that quote about that you shared on Honest Feedback. So how about Amy? Do you have a personal mantra, a quote, an inspiration that really keeps you focused on the positive and towards success?
Well, you know, being in the public sector, there's a standard that we have to maintain in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we conduct our business. We're open to, I think, a higher level of public scrutiny, and rightly so. And so kind of the thing that keeps me focused on that accountability is also the best leadership advice I ever got from the worst boss I ever had. but he always used to say, don't ever make any decision today that you wouldn't want to see in a headline tomorrow. And I try to think about that every single day. And every decision that I'm making that's a critical path decision, I ask myself that as, am I going to be proud to see this in tomorrow's headlines? And that's really how I try to conduct myself.
Absolutely. And with today's social media world and how things are instantly posted and instantly received by the public, wouldn't you say it's even more important today?
It is even more important because, you know, I think with social media and the prevalence of social media in our society, everybody's become an expert at everything. And everyone thinks they know the real story. And 99% of the time, they know one-ninth of the story.
Right.
And so if you keep yourself grounded in, I've made good decisions. In my case, I've made decisions that are good for the Port of Pensacola. And if those decisions are good for the Port of Pensacola, then they're good for the voters and they're good for the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And I can defend them to anyone at any time, then I'm good. And that's all I worry about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's definitely great inspiration, I'm sure, that keeps you grounded and keeps you making decisions on the right path as well. How about you, Stacey? Do you want to share yours?
Yeah, I totally agree with Amy, and that you've got to be transparent. And once you lose your integrity, you lose everything. So that's always at the forefront of business decisions. And I just listened to a TED Talk the other day, and so it's a fairly new mantra. But Sarah Lewis was the speaker, and she was talking about the difference between success and mastery, and that she would much rather mastery, because on your way to mastering a skill, you're going to fail over and over again. And that the completion of learning that skill shouldn't be the end of it, but just the beginning of an ongoing journey. And I've always said, if I'm okay with making mistakes, as long as I learn from them. I don't like to make them. None of us like to make them. But if we don't learn from them, then it's a wasted effort. So I think that's one thing that I see a lot of kids are robbed of, the ability to make mistakes now. And I don't think that that is good for the future workforce or for their future development as a human. We're human. We are going to fail. We are going to make mistakes. And you have to be okay with that. And you have to just brush yourself off and take something away from that experience. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you've already shared that you do have an impact on that younger generation. Do you mind sharing the story that you told me when we did the interview about the young intern that was working with the Gulf Coast Kids House, and how you were able to influence him through a little bit of allowing him to fail?
Yeah, well, I think we always say yes to interns, because I think it's, I call interning and volunteering, it's kind of like being in a dressing room. You get to try on careers and see what fits and see what doesn't, and there's not a whole lot of risk involved at that point. So we have had a couple of interns that come in, and they're very quiet and they don't like to talk to people. You know, we get the writers, and so they want to sit in their corner and write, and we actively push them outside of their comfort zone. And one of our recent interns came in and was on a trajectory to be a professor, and we took him to meetings, nonprofit town halls, all those things, and he's actually now working with another nonprofit agency in the community. Just because you can't know what you want to be when you grow up. I think if I were to ask everyone, I think we're all still trying to figure that out, and we will until we're in the grave. So it's just really important to accept interns, accept volunteers, give them some critical feedback, because you are the safest place that they're going to hear it. The next time it's going to be in an evaluation or in a termination. So we've got to be a little hard on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I think a little bit of that is your nature though, right, Stacey? That's how you've gone through your life as well. Yeah. You haven't really been scared to try something that you're not 100% confident with. To just get out there and to fail and to learn from it.
You just have to think. Yeah, I always say, think of the worst case scenario. You know, if you make this move, then what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to hate it. You're going to have to move back. Mm-hmm. You know, just go for it. We're only here once.
Exactly.
And I think piggybacking what both of them are saying in terms of, well, specifically Stacey, the risk taking. I have not really thought about the fact that I'm a risk taker until somebody else said that to me, because I guess how you frame it. But when the Argo Pantry, which I won't get into, but nonetheless, when that was started, when I started that at the university, and our military connections, which is looking at two events that we do per year that honor what our veterans have done. So one of the things that I've thought about is being willing to do you, to be fully you, to step outside of who people perceive you to be and begin to look at perceiving yourself through your own lenses. And as a result of that, one of the things that I'm doing when we talk about risk taking is modeling the behavior for those around us. Stacey, I know you work with children. I work with older children in higher education. But nonetheless, I think when we say take the risk, step out, try something different. If we're not doing that, then how do they learn? So as a result of that, as you already know, Colleen, I'm going to be doing my one-woman show in June.
So excited.
So thank you. So this is something that's different from me, for me, but at the same time, it really is a part of who I am. And again, beginning to appreciate self and evaluate self so that we know more of who we are and know how to take those risks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And you've encouraged a lot of young women and probably men over your career as well. I know one of the things we talked about in the interview was the ability, you're learning how to say no.
Yes.
And you're also teaching women how to present themselves in a meeting.
Yes.
Do you remember talking about that? Mm-hmm. Can you share some of that advice?
I certainly will. And I'm already smiling at Amy because I'm already embracing her personality. It's one of the things that makes me totally insane is for us to apologize for having an opinion. I have a right to have an opinion. So when I come to the table, I should be fully confident in what it is that I'm willing to support. And so without apology, I can say, I think we should, instead of, well, I don't know how you all would think about it, but one of the things I was sort of thinking about already, we're thinking we don't want to hear what you're saying. So remember to speak up. Mm-hmm. Speak out. And another thing that's so pivotal and important is for women to have each other's back. And I know a lot of people talk about the fact that women sometimes don't have each other's back. And I have found that to be true. But more often than not, I have found people, women, to be incredibly supportive. Mm-hmm. And so much so that I'm sort of thinking, am I that special? No, it's not that I'm that special. It's that women are so awesome and they are willing to support you. And so I think go into your new ventures believing that you have a network of people who want to support you. And some of those people may be of the same gender that you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great advice. Mm-hmm. And I know, Amy, you influence the women and the men around you as well. How do you cultivate that next generation of leaders?
You know, I have a very small staff at my port. And so I don't have on my staff a young woman that I can kind of take under my wing and bring up in this industry. And women in the port industry are a rarity. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage women to consider careers in fields that maybe are traditionally male dominated fields, whatever that is, not necessarily the port industry, but whatever that field is. But what I have done is the University of West Florida has a wonderful executive mentor program. It is top notch. It's really fantastic. And I've gotten involved in that program this year. And I have a mentee who is part of UWF also has a brand new logistics major within their College of Business. And so my mentee is a student in the logistics major track, and she is interested in a career in airport management. And it's a phenomenal program, and it gives me an opportunity to take a young woman who has similar interests as me. Obviously, she's interested in ports, she's interested in airports, and kind of be that role model for her. And we spend, you know, anywhere from 3 to 4 hours a month together, whether it's at one of the executive mentor programs organized functions, or whether it's meeting for coffee or having lunch together, and just kind of talking about, a problem that she may be having in school, a paper she's writing that she needs me to review, if she's working on her resume and submitting it for internships, would you review it and give me some tips on my resume? And sometimes it's just talking about life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just talking about, I mean, even for her, she struggles with, she's a local relatively local young woman who lives at home and goes to school and works and has a boyfriend. And so she struggles with how to balance all of those things. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, for anyone who's listening, who's interested in mentoring someone, I really highly recommend getting involved in the UWF Executive Mentor Program. It's phenomenal.
Absolutely. And I would second that. I think looking back at my life, I was in the financial industry for 25 years, which is back then very male dominated, still very male dominated. And some of my early influences were women, you know, that I really could look up to and say, there are other women that can do this. And just like you said, sometimes we would just sit and have ice cream and talk about life.
Yep.
Other times we would talk about serious things and the women that influenced me gave me really good advice that was very different than what my parents would give me. I looked at them from a much different perspective. And for her, what a great opportunity for her to have you in her world. As you mentioned, there are not many women in the field that you're in. As a right. matter of fact, you're one of less than a dozen female port directors in the United States, and you're one of the only ones in the Gulf Coast area.
Correct.
And so for her to be paired up with you, that's an incredible influence. Yeah.
And you know, and I'm kind of an open book, and I'm really willing to share my story with people. And so, you know, for me, I talk about, you know, no matter what your background and no matter, you know, what side of the tracks you come from, so to speak, mm-hmm. you can be anything you want to be. If you just apply yourself, you know, I grew up, you know, we weren't dirt poor, but we weren't wealthy by any stretch of the imagination either. My mom was a receptionist part-time at a real estate office, and my dad worked in a factory. And I grew up in a family where my dad was a terrific provider, not such a great dad, mm-hmm. You know, not very supportive. His best advice to me when I was getting ready to graduate high school was to go to college and meet a good man who could support me well.
right.
And so, you know, that's the environment I grew up in. And, you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, I really, in many ways, thank my father for his Neanderthal attitudes, because much of what I've done in my life has been to spite him.
Right.
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 And so thanks, Dad, for not thinking I could actually accomplish anything on my own, because of that, I've been driven to accomplish things on my own to prove that I can.
Exactly.
And so, like I said, it doesn't matter how you grow up. You can be anything you want to be if you apply yourself.
Absolutely.
And you're determined.
Absolutely. And those are great. You just hit on the next question I was just going to talk about, applying yourself and being determined. And for me, one of the questions that comes up so much is confidence too. Mm-hmm. Would you say that those are some of those key attributes of successful women and key core competencies that women really can use to excel them to the next level?
Oh, absolutely. And mine came, we go back to my grandma Carol, you know, and that was kind of the mentor in my life. And she always encouraged me, you know, don't just be in the 4-H club, run to be president of the 4-H club, and don't just be on junior fair board, be the president of the junior fair board. And so it was that encouragement from her that kind of countered the, you know, my father's attitude of kind of bringing me up to fulfill traditional female roles
sure.
in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was that point counterpoint, I think, that was really important for me in my development. And so a lot of my confidence comes from my grandmother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just like you mentioned, it can come from a lot of different areas. So being open and being receptive to wherever that influence is going to come from, and being aware and going back to what you said, LaSharon, taking the things that are true and then letting go of the things that maybe aren't true can make a difference as well.
Yep.
Well, let's talk more about those key competencies for successful women. LaSharon, what are some of yours that really stand out for you?
Well, I also have to agree with Amy in terms of environment coming up. I grew up in a traditional Southern family. However, my mother was also valedictorian of her high school class. So while she did not go on to get an education beyond high school, she always encouraged her girls. And she always said, I want you to be able to take care of self. So we grew up knowing that we needed to take care of self. Beyond that, she modeled the behavior. She would do things in the community. I sort of called her the community social worker because people would come to her with a lot of issues, and she was a very wise woman. And then I had another woman in my life, Ann Lump. Though deceased now, she died about 4 or 5 years ago, nearly 100 years old. And to watch her cut wood, chop wood, to be a dynamic woman, and she was just a lump, not even 5 feet tall. But these women, as I would hear, and more than that, as I would see what they did, from that I gained confidence. And I think often being told, you're smart, you can do it, I never heard the you can't. So I always thought that I could. But as we've been talking this morning, there's also another point that comes to mind. Once you have done something successfully, from that, you gain confidence that you can do something else. So I think, hold on to that. When you do something that's dynamic and people are saying, wow, that was great. Women, please stop saying, well, oh no, it was nothing. Say, yes, I worked hard on that. Yes, it was great. I feel good about it. And then you can move forward to doing something else. What I'm saying in essence is stop dismissing the things that we do well, embrace those things, learn from those things, and then build on those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we do. A mm-hmm. lot of people mm-hmm. they internalize or they negate those mm-hmm. positive things that are happening because yes. sometimes a negative thing can mm-hmm. just completely wipe away everything that's positive mm-hmm. going on in your world. Mm-hmm. I know I'm absolutely guilty of that many times. And sometimes I have to stop and mm-hmm. say, wait a minute, you know, what was my mind thinking? That's yes. not me. That's garbage that mm-hmm. I can let go of.
Exactly.
So being conscious of it. And exactly as you said, taking mm-hmm. those each time you do something positive, mm-hmm. using that as a building block towards building your confidence even higher.
And I think as women who've been in out there working or whatever it is that we're doing, modeling the way, I think it's so important that we tell other women when they're doing good things. It's so easy to say, Stacy, I'm just so excited for you. I read that article about you. I'm proud of you. That goes a long way. So mm-hmm. don't be stingy with the compliments. Go ahead and give that compliment because you never know where that will propel someone else to shoot toward. So let's do that, women. Let's have a network where we can at least minimally encourage each other.
Absolutely. And I think that's wonderful advice. I know I tend to focus on giving people compliments, but sometimes they're more physical mm-hmm. and they're less about what's going on internally and the good things that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to take your advice there and do it more on the things that are happening on the inside instead of, yes. you know, it's great to compliment women on their look and, you know, their physical form. But mm-hmm. a lot of times we should admire each other for the things that are going on mentally.
Exactly.
And in our work as well. Stacy, do you have some key traits of successful women that stand out for you as well?
I have a couple, and a lot of them have already been touched on. I kept thinking as Sharon was speaking about the inherent risk that you have to take to build your confidence. So the risk taking, obviously, we've already talked a bit about that. And with that comes resiliency. I mean, there's that, they call it grit, and mm-hmm. you have to have a little bit of grit. You got to be fair. One of the biggest things I think you have to be, though, is grateful. I think we can tend to get so wrapped up in the negativity and the pressures that are on us individually that we can forget to be grateful for where we are and who's around us. And that is something that I'm very guilty of, and I'm trying to be much more conscious of just gratitude for health, gratitude for our jobs, gratitude for the people that work with us. And that in turn will make you more resilient and enable you to take those risks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know one of the things that you shared too, and I love this out of the article that we did on you from the interview, was how the advice you've given women as far as dealing with conflict resolution and problem solving. And I know it was a script that you got from specifically from Studer Group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that I've actually implemented in my life, and it works perfectly. Do you mind sharing your advice on that?
No, not at all. So conflict resolution is always a bit awkward, and I don't think that I'm an expert at it at all. And part of the scripting that came from Studer Group that helps me when I have to address an issue is when you, I feel, and the result is, because it takes the personal out of the equation. It's just, these are the facts, just the facts, ma'am, need this to stop. And you can move forward from that without getting so highly emotional.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is very true. And we as women, I think we're emotional creatures. And when somebody comes to us and says, you know, when you do this, then all of a sudden we get very reactive and we get very defensive. And all of a sudden we internalize that and say, you know, I'm a bad person. But in reality, it's not them as a bad person. It's maybe what they did was not the most effective way to handle that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the scripting really takes it off of that individual as doing something inappropriate. And it really puts it more on the action.
Well, and even more importantly, it helps to narrow down, why did that upset me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think we can, like you said, you can get emotional about a situation and then a few hours later, you're like, what the heck? Why was I so upset about that?
Right.
Like, oh, because of that other thing that happened this morning that actually had nothing to do with the scenario. So it helps you to clarify what it is you're holding a grudge about.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need to wait a while. You know what I mean? Sometimes my personal trait that I dislike the most is that when I get angry, like really angry about something, I cry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hate that. Mm-hmm. Right? I hate that. And I think part of the reason I hate that is because coming at the business world where it's male driven, male perspective, tough, there's no crying in baseball, right?
Absolutely. There's no crying at the port.
And then I get even more mad, right? Because why am I crying? I'm not upset. I'm angry. Why am I
trying not to kill you?
Right? And so I think sometimes you just have to take a minute or 10 or 10 days, whatever it is, to calm down to the point that you can approach the issue rationally, right? Because the worst thing you can do is approach a problem, especially a problem with another person, out of anger and being irrational and not being willing to listen, because when you're angry, you don't listen well and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just have to take the time to calm down a little bit before you address it.
That's so tricky, though, because sometimes I feel like I wait too long. And then to bring it up again is one, like,
kind of like the dog's already forgotten what he did that you're punishing.
Yeah, so it's a fine line. I get it. You got to calm down. But I feel like I miss the opportunity so many times, too.
I think it's also, I do a workshop on conflict resolution that for our center for teaching at UWF. And one of the things that's important that Stacy has already said is to depersonalize it. And so conflict is a natural, it's a part of what happens in our lives. I think the thing that sometimes happens, and you all have both just said it, when conflict occurs in the moment, a lot of times we feel we have to respond in the moment, and we really don't. It is perfectly okay to say, right now, I am not capable of discussing this issue. I'm at a place where I think what I say would not be the best thing that I would want to convey. So I'll need to get back with you. Right. I do want to discuss it, but I'm not able to right now. That gives you a chance to walk away from it, the other person to walk away. And I think what we need to do is look at what is the issue. But the most important thing really is the I statements. I also like to examine what has been said. Is it true? Why am I responding this way? What other things are being triggered? So ask yourself, absent the person, because sometimes the person that's saying it to you really is the reason that you're having a strong reaction. It's not what they've said. It's the individual. So you need to know that as well. So that's just part of what I try to do. And sometimes I'm shocked at myself that I can really work through all those steps that I just said and say, you know, they were right. Even though initially my gut reaction was, no, you didn't just say that to me. Uh-huh. So I do try to walk back. And
absolutely.
Then, yeah.
You're right. And I read somewhere or heard it on a podcast about the going through an example of the five whys,
mm-hmm.
exactly like you were talking about, walking away and then asking yourself, why am I having that reaction? Well, I'm having that reaction because, well, why? Mm-hmm. And you keep going further and further and further. And finally, you come up with something that has nothing to do with what your initial reaction was. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely amazing to have that self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And it doing it away from that other person allows you to be honest with yourself as well. Yeah. So that's,
and you know, sometimes we react and I think that sometimes, you know, email is not always the best way to handle situations. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people can misread your tone,
yes,
in an email.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't always state what you're thinking exactly correctly in an email. And so I always caution people to not react in emails to confrontational situations.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of, and so we at the port and at the city have kind of a process that we go by, which is discuss, agree, document, right? So discuss it first, agree on the resolution, and then document what you've agreed on, mm-hmm. instead of just firing off, you know, an angry email, mm-hmm. that says, well, I thought I told you, you know, don't do those things.
Absolutely.
And it's easy to do. It's really easy to do. Mm-hmm. And I still do type a lot of those because I have to get it out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I don't actually ever hit send. I hit delete.
Mm-hmm.
Got it out. Now I'm good.
I think I'm so connected with what you just said. I will type it up really fast. Then I delete it. And another thing that I do, if I'm getting a response, and again, to me, it's a gut response. Sometimes I will ask someone who knows the situation between me and the other individual, simply to say, would you read this? Tell me what your thoughts are. Because sometimes I've just gone and blown it way out of proportion. They might say something. Oh, it just looks like, and I'll think, okay, thank you. That is so helpful. So don't be afraid to ask people for input and feedback that you know well and trust.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. I hadn't thought of doing that second step to it. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Best leadership advice you've ever received. I know, Amy, you already shared yours.
I already shared it.
But LaSharon had an answer to that question. What is the best leadership advice you've ever received?
I'm not sure what I said before, but there are a couple of things that come to my mind. And one is leadership, being a leader can be lonely. That's from Colin Powell. And the other thing is when people show you who they are, believe them. Don't make excuses for them. Don't try to question why. And for me, the biggest thing has been, when I really like somebody, I really like them. I'm a loyal friend, folks. But sometimes you've shown me something, man, I'm really not believing it because you're really not that way. So it's easy for us to see when people are being what I call yuck poos. But when they are perceived as being nice, but they're doing things that negatively impact you, believe that. And that quote, when people show you who they are, believe them, is from Maya Angelou.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing advice. Mm-hmm. Action mm-hmm. is much more telling mm-hmm. than words. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Stacy, did you have one you wanted to share on best leadership advice?
Yeah, I actually had a couple just from the last women's conference out at UWF. And Amy was
wonderful.
One of the speakers there too. But it's fear and excitement feel the same, which... is really great quote. And also that plans rarely survive contact with reality. You know, we can plan ourselves to death. So I think the best leadership that I've received is be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible and adaptable.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really like what LaSharon said about, you know, when people show you who they are, believe them. Because I think, you know, we talk about women's intuition, but I think it's kind of true. And I think a lot of women have, and I don't know about men because I'm not a guy, but I think women have kind of gut instincts about things a lot of times. And I've been persuaded that my gut was wrong and given someone the benefit of the doubt, and it came back to bite me. You know, so sometimes you just got to trust your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be confident in your gut.
Yep.
But it takes time.
Yeah, it does. It does. But my gut is almost always right.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes guts, too. It takes, you know, sometimes you don't want to believe what your gut is telling you.
Of course not. You don't ever want to believe that someone is, you know, dogging you behind your back or, you know, trying to undermine your success or, you know, but. There are haters everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. All right. So the only last question that I had was about time management tips, which is actually pretty good because we are right on time. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and share a few of them. I know Stacy and LaSharon, you both had, these were questions that resonated. That was a question that resonated for both of you. So Stacy, give us a great time management tip.
I only record action items from meetings. I don't waste time on the other notes, so that way I know what I need to get done after the meeting. And turn your ringer off and close your inbox when you're working on a project. There's a great book, The 4-Hour Workday, where you can, if you just shut off those distractions, you can get so an entire workday knocked out in an hour or two.
That's amazing. Great.
I'm going to say, wow, I'm taking those with me. So those are my nuggets for the day. I think one of them I alluded to earlier, and that is when you wake up, get up. Stop wasting time early. And if you're not an early morning person, that's fine. But if you wake up, it probably means that you can get up. The second thing that I do is similar to what I believe Amy was saying. I do a to-do list. I am a copious note taker. So I note what I need to do. I do check it off. That traditional feeling of that feels good to get that one done. And more importantly for me is minimizing my knee-jerk responses to somebody else having waited to the last minute, creating a crisis for me, being able to say, because you waited, it doesn't create a crisis for me. I will certainly put this on my list, but it cannot rise to the top of my list. Speaking that and letting them know where you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amy, when we first started, there was a pet peeve that was probably very similar to what she just talked about urgency. Do you want to share a pet peeve?
Oh, which one? I have so many. there were a couple we talked about when we first got here, and I can't remember what they were. One of them, I know that I was reading a response from someone on an email I had sent them earlier. And I can't stand it when I ask someone a question and they write me a novel to give me what isn't actually even an answer at the end of the question, right?
Just asking you more questions.
Yeah, they're just asking me more questions. Wait a minute, I asked you the question. I just want to know, what day will this be done? What time can you talk about this? Mm-hmm. I don't need a book about, well, if we do it this way, then this will happen. And what day will it be done? Mm-hmm. What time can we discuss it? And be succinct and you'd be amazed how much more you can accomplish if you weed out all of the other stuff that's not necessary. And I was going to add to time management. One of my tricks for managing my day is I use color-coded. I'm still a folder person. I'm still a hard paper person. Mm-hmm. I use color-coded folders. So I have to deal with a lot of finance-related stuff, paying bills, making sure we're on budget, running reports. Those all go in green because green is money. Contracts, other documents that require my review and signature, those kinds of things go in red because that's red tape. And so I have color-coded folders that kind of help me keep my day organized.
That's awesome. I've never heard of that. Do you take something from one color folder and put it in a different color folder if that task?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yep.
I love that.
I do too. I'm a very color person. I was in the financial industry where I worked was Merrill Lynch, and they were very corporate and very standardized. And we had yellow pads and we had blue pens, and that was it. There was no color anything. So I've erupted into lots of color, and that's really neat. Yep. I do color code based on client or prospect, but I've never thought of moving somebody from one color to the next based on the task.
As a project progresses, it moves.
So do you work on one color at a time? Do you put all the finance things to bed first, and then you do you organize them that way in color?
It organizes my day and my week. Because I start out earlier in the day doing the things I enjoy more, and I save the things that, because now that I'm kind of amped up, right, and I'm having fun and things are going great, and now I'll get out the green folder that I don't really want to deal with.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I might try to incorporate that into business. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Well, wonderful. Well, you know, we have had an incredible amount of information shared today. I want to ask you ladies if there's anything that you're still wanting the audience to know before we close out, to give them a final, and I'll actually, let's just go around and do one final advice to women out there that are in leadership or that are considering leadership as something to leave them at the final end of this program. You want to start,
Amy? I'm going to steal from LaSharon.
I mean,
she said two things that really resonated with me. One was own your successes, don't apologize for them. And own your opinions, don't apologize for them.
I'm just going to say, if you think it, you'll be it. That's good, bad, or ugly.
Absolutely.
And I guess I have one thing that I think is important, to always try to lead through honesty and integrity. If you can say it here in this space, you should be able to say it wherever you are. And when I was in the College of Education, they had a philosophy that I really like, and it is this: give people unconditional positive regard. You are not better than, you are not less than, you are equal to. Regard people in that same way.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then mine, it still impacts me. It's the Patti LaBelle quote about accept everything that you are and nothing that you are not. I think that that is such great advice, and it just resonates with me personally. So, you know, you ladies have shared so much information today. For the listeners out there, if you want more information about these wonderful women, the second edition of our Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast magazine featured LaSharon Wiley and also featured Stacy Costavecchi. And then our third edition of the magazine featured Amy Miller. So if you want to pull those up, you can pull those from our website, read those articles, and learn more from these wonderful women. You know, you just have so much information to share. I am eternally grateful for each of you. On our, even though this is episode 6, I'm going to consider it our first edition of the Women in Leadership Show, sponsored by Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast. And anybody out there that's looking for more networking, wants to get involved with an organic women's organization here in Pensacola, we would love for you to check out our website. Again, it's powerfulwomengulfcoast.com. And with that, I'm going to say thank you so much, ladies, and we're going to close out today's show.